Okay, so I'm going to cheat a little over here. I'm planning on, as I said, giving the high school schmooze tomorrow. And my client asked me about VOD. I said, okay, I have a topic I'm working on for the high school schmooze. So I'll just sort of use it, shift it, and adjust it, and just make some base medrash applications. So I'm basically going to give the same idea over, but I was working on the schmooze for the high school for a couple of days. I sat down last night and focused on my base medrash angle. So hopefully there's enough lemaisa and relevance that you can take with you, and should be very worthwhile. So the topic I was talking about was there's a lot goes on over here in yeshiva. There's a lot goes on in a regular day. There's many different starim. Kiyas Seder, Yin Seder, Seder Zechavrusa, Shavura Seder, different tfilos. There's a lot that goes on in yeshiva, and then you could have a week like this that we're in the middle of, with a lot more that goes on. You have this groundbreaking event. You have Shavuos coming up, all the different sort of responsibilities and decisions that come with that. And the question is, what guides those decisions that we make of what am I going to participate in? What am I going to come to? What am I going to learn? And there are different things that drive different people. There's whatever internal motivation we have and drive for learning. There's perhaps how we want our abeim to feel about ourselves. A broader picture, how we want our parents to feel about ourselves. How much interested I am in learning, how much I'm following the shir, how much I'm into the sugya. There are a lot of factors that affect how much we're going to really put into it and do what we're supposed to do and be where we're supposed to be. I want to add a different dimension, a different factor that I think could really play a bigger role, and maybe for some people it does, but hopefully Bez Hashem it'll add something. In this coming week's Parsha, there's two Rashis that are really Rashis of contrast. In Pasuk, Perakim Pasuk of Tess, he talks about the fact that the B'nai Kehas were next to Reuven, and therefore, because of Korach's rebellion, that schlepped in Dasan Va'aviram and 250 people. And then a few psukim later, the pasuk talks about Moshe and Aaron, where they were encamped in the middle, and they were next to Degel Machane Yehuda, Yisachar, and Zvulun, Tov L'Tzadik, Tov L'Shcheino, and because they were next to these great tzaddikim, so it had an impact upon them and who they were and what their roles were as leaders in Klal Yisrael. It doesn't seem from the actual Lashon and Rashi, quote the words, Smuchen lahem degel machne Yehuda v'achonu olav Yisachar Zvulun, Tov L'Tzadik, Tov L'Shcheino, Fisha Yishchein av Shamosha, Shaya Osik B'Torah. They were neighbors of Moshe, he was Osik B'Torah. So Nasa G'dolim B'Torah, so they became G'dolim B'Torah. And he quotes Pesukim in the back. But it doesn't seem like it was the direct hashpa that he taught them. Moshe Rabbeinu hopefully had an equal responsibility to all of Klai. So it just seems like being next to him, whether it was the fact that they saw him, they felt a connection to him. But there was something about that being next to him that made that impact upon the Shvatim of Yehuda, Yisachar, and Zvulun that changed who they are. So the question that I want us to sort of all ask ourselves right now is, do we appreciate what we have here, being in yeshiva, what we're around, what we're connected to, and the kind of hashpah it has on us, and perhaps that could also influence certain decisions that we have at times that we're deciding where to be and what to do, that a little extra connection, what it can do for us. Okay, so I assume you understand the Rosh Yeshiva we have over here, that our dedicated Yom of Alayla to the yeshiva and to everything about it and to Limud HaTorah and to mixing everything in with all the responsibilities they have. I'm sure you've seen a lot of that firsthand. It's pretty amazing to see, and it's a special schus to be a part of. You have the other rabbeim who really put so much into you, and any conversations that I've had with them, it's all hacking about it. The slightest detail, something that'll make the guys a little happier, and should we do it this way or that way, but it's not the best for them, and so on. You're surrounded by chaverim that are really pretty dedicated. I know a lot of you, and I'm sorry I don't know the rest of you, but There's a lot of Torah that's going on over here. There's a powerful force over here in a yeshiva that is something that has an amazing impact on us, the community, Klal Yisrael, obviously at large. But it's important to appreciate that. If we could appreciate that, I mean, we can't really calculate the value of the Hashpah, what it means to be here. But I'm sure you've all heard people who've passed yeshiva and gone on further in life and spoken about their few years in yeshiva, and whether it's people like myself who just reminisce about those years in yeshiva, just got to sit and learn, but at least I'm still in yeshiva, and people that are not still in yeshiva and moved on and just think about those years and the value of it and what it means to them. But while we're here in yeshiva, it's so important for us to find ways to connect to yeshiva as much as possible. Because the more we connect to yeshiva by involving ourselves in every single part and every single aspect of yeshiva, from the first mizmor shir in the morning to the last kaddish at night and everything in between, but everything that's a part of the day, the more we involve ourselves, that kesher has an amazing, tremendous impact upon us. And we make our decisions what to do. Should I come? Should I not come? Based on, okay, what am I feeling about this Seder? But there's something bigger and broader that we don't realize the impact it's having upon us. That kesher with yeshiva, like that seeing Moshe and Aaron, seeing them on a regular basis, drove their way into the hearts of Yisachar, Zvulun, and Yehuda, and the Shvatim were different. By being here, every part, every extra piece, every extra Seder that I come to, whatever it's going to be, it makes a way into me, and I become a piece of yeshiva, and it makes a tremendous difference. When I was preparing for the high school shmooze, I have a little piece from this Chaim Moserbrook, a phenomenal piece in the 1920s, talking about a little less than 100 years ago, that Reb Chaim Moser and Luzinski and the Chavetz Chaim together formed something called the Vadei Yeshivos. What was the Vadei Yeshivos? At that point in time, because of certain effects of World War I, Poland was cut off from some of the support, both international support and more local support even, and it was very, very difficult for yeshivas to survive. Thousands of Talmidim and yeshivas, ranging from Yeshiva Gedola to younger yeshivas, whatever it was a very difficult situation. So they made a takana, and Chaim Moser and Chavetz Chaim went around speaking in shuls and communities to publicize it and to get everyone on board. That kind of was it. Everyone was mechuyev to give a minimum amount of tzedakah each year to go and support the yeshivas. But some people, they were so dirt poor, they didn't have. So they came up with these pushkas that they would bring to people's houses. So this way, anytime you had a little extra, I don't know what you called it, a penny, a kopeck, whatever it was, a little something, you would put into the pushka, so you'd add it up. So over the course of, I think they collected twice a year, whatever it was, you were able to go and get this small amount of money from these people that were dirt poor. Everyone had the achrayas. It's it. Everyone in the communities had to go and support the yeshivas. These people were barely surviving. But that was the achrayas. They understood the value of it. Chavetz Chaim went, he spoke, he traveled somewhere, he said, I wouldn't have traveled here to speak for 1,000 golden coins. He said, I wouldn't even have traveled to speak here for 1,000 mitzvos. But to go and to be mechazik, the Vadei Yeshivas, that he was ready to do. The perspective of what it meant. But what a yeshiva is, there's so much that it encompasses, and to appreciate, to be a part of it, and to connect with it, it's hard when I'm giving over. It's not necessarily so tangible. It's not necessarily something you could put your finger on. But you think about that connection you feel, and then there are certain times that maybe decisions that you make that, no, I'm part of yeshiva, and I feel differently about myself. Then we see how strong and tangible it really is. I don't know all the Beis Medrash, I guess, challenges, so I'm not ready to jump and apply it. I had my list of high school ones. The next time I'm ready to go and put my head down and cheer and step out during a shmooze, you can have a list of things that. But you have to figure out what is the next time I was going to skip the Seder, wherever it's going to be, to shift that mindset and say, well, one second, but I really want to be part of the yeshiva as much as I can, because every bit is going to make such a big difference. So I was processing a lot of this and trying to sort of shift in a base medrash mode. So I had the following deher that maybe makes it a little more confusing. When you think about it as someone in base medrash, when I am in yeshiva, I'm here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, so I'm living yeshiva. So of course I'm part of yeshiva. Like, what else could there be? I am yeshiva. That's my whole life. I'm here. And I think that makes this topic a little more confusing. Everything I do, I'm doing with my chaverim in yeshiva. So okay, it's in the dorm, in the base medrash, but I'm all here. So like, you know, how do you define, how you magdir, which of the pieces, at least going through my mind, that I would say should be the focal point. Welcome to ask your Rabbeim what they think. But what I would suggest, and maybe it's because I'm such a yucky and I like, you know, sticking with the program. I think this schedule, there's the program. There's the program that the yeshiva sets in motion. And each day, it's probably generally the same, except here and there, something different. But that program, to stay with it, to stay with the starim, to stay with the expectations on a regular basis, I think that's what it's about. So yeah, you could have an amazing time and a beautiful kesher with some of your chaverim at night in the dorm, and you're having a deep, meaningful conversation at 1 a.m. that turns to 2 a.m, and you connect it, but that might not be your real kesher with yeshiva, because the next day is not going to look so good. So it's going to take a lot of chachma to be able to say, how could I go and have the highest level connection with yeshiva? That's going to take a lot more. So I found an interesting Gemara in Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda Marav says, La'olam al yimna adam atzmo mibeis ha-medrash, pe'gimel ha-medrash. A person should not hold himself back from the beis medrash, va'afilu shah achas, even for one moment. Sharikama shanim nishneish mishnah zub beis medrash. There's a mishnah that was taught numerous times in the beis medrash. V'lo niskala taima, and no one understood. The reason wasn't clear. Ad shebar Rav Chanina ben Akavio Pirsha, he came and he explained it. Now we understand the reason. It actually had ramifications, halacha, that were nafkaminas based on the reason. So, therefore, lo'olam al yimna adam esatzmo beis medrash afilu shah achas. The Rasha explains, I think that Ian Yaakov is going along with the same idea, that there's a concept of aim based medrash below chiddush. So of course, al yimna adam esatzmo beis medrash afilu shah achas, because you're always going to miss something. But he says, but even if you know, I know what they're learning there. Okay, I know what they're working on today. I heard that shiur. I know the topic. Still, ayim the anatzmo, because you'll get another insight. It might not be a new halacha, but a new understanding of halacha, a new reason. And because of that, you should not go and hold yourself back afilu sha'achas. There's probably a lot to take out of this Gemara. I'd have enough time to really work on it to say a clear shmooze and to pull anything deeper out of it. But you know, I was thinking, there's this mindset that people have that we call FOMO, this fear of missing out. There's something going on in the dormitory, this chaver's going out to eat somewhere, and there's always things going on, and people feel that I'm very missing out. You know, I don't even know what it is. I think what the Gemara is telling us over here is to try to develop a different type of sense of FOMO. Like, you know the feeling when you're in the middle of a shiur that you're really into, and perhaps someone's calling you, maybe your phone buzzed, or maybe you need to use the bathroom, whatever it's going to be, and I can't step out right now, because I don't know what the next step's going to be. I can't miss it. So that's what Yehuda Rav is trying to pull out over here, where this person comes to Space Spanish all the time, and he learns a lot. So there's one day they're doing stuff that he knows already, so it's not the biggest deal if I miss. He probably has other things he wants to do. This person's coming anyway, but if the other thing you have to do is not as important, you should have this like feeling of FOMO, like, I might miss out. There might be another level. Every day, Ein Beis HaMedrash below Chiddush, there's going to be some insight, there's going to be some deher, some understanding that I'm going to miss out on. How can I not be there for it? And I think sometimes that emotion of fear of missing out, we have got to be a lot of other things, but it doesn't pull us as much when it comes to getting us to come to Seder as much. Okay, I'll learn a different time, whatever the Yetzirah tells us. But if we could try to shift that focus and try to see it that way, it could have a tremendous impact on us. Now, it's a little complicated of how far to apply this idea. One could argue it's not just the Sdarim. The yeshiva has a special program. There's a vad. I guess I'm speaking to the people who came to it, but there's an oneg. There's a lot of different things that go on, and I'm on the mood. I'd rather relax, and so. But those also have that. Have carry such a value with them. That's part of the connecting. But you know, sometimes a person feels, okay, for me, I don't know. So I want to add another component over here, sort of another dimension. Rashi in last week's parsha, this Rashi was quoted, I don't know, a number of times by different people, at least to me. One of my daughters said it over at the table. I guess they learned it in fifth grade, and Rabbi Bauman wrote it over in his weekly letter, and I heard it from, I forgot where else, but Rabbi Falgon quoted it.
And, groundbreaking.
The groundbreaking, the earth shattering, I'm sorry. That was my favorite line.
The best line.
Better than the Rabbi Dreyfus story, for sure. Anyways, so the pasuk says, Radfu mikem chamisha mea, umea mikem revava yadofu, venaflu aivechel mifnechem lacharev. So, 5 are going to run after 100, 100 are going to run after 10,000, so you do the math. 5 times 20 is 100. 100 times 20 should only be 2,000, yet it's much more. So Rashi explains that that when more people are doing the mitzvos, it's not the same. Obviously it's not the same because there's more people, but it's exponentially not the same. So what he's saying over here is that if I'm at Seder right now and there's 20 people at Seder learning, which is beautiful, so there's a certain power in our learning. If there's 30 people in the Seder, so each of us, each of our Limud HaTorah, our power itself becomes greater because there's a lot of people doing this mitzvah together. So perhaps a person could say, okay, I'm not in the mood right now, but how about my chaverim? How could I leave them behind? Don't forget about the potential hashpah, that they see people not there, they won't learn. They're going to learn. Let's say they're going to learn. But their Limud HaTorah is going to be a different Limud HaTorah. When I go and join them and become a part of it, that makes it a different mood, a different base medrash. Back in my days when you went to branch, it meant something very different because there was no one there. You were the base medrash. So when I came to branch here, and like in the story that Rabbi Eli Wiesel told over, when we had four bachrim here, myself, Avram Sebrow, Zio Blumberg, Arya Goldman, and then after Yom Narayim, Rabbi Winter came instead, and he was with us back then. Those amazing times, but that was it. So okay, you could feel like an extra person. Okay, there's only 3 people here. There's no kultur. Okay, 4 people. Now we can learn. So you don't see the difference as much, but it's an impact, not just the hashpah, which I think that we understand, but the power of the mitzvah. It's a different mitzvah. It's a different learning. When I come to Seder, I'm mechazik everyone else in so many ways. On the negative side, to use that, but there's a Ramban in Parshas Kedoshim, Perek Chaf, Pasuk Gimel, where the person did the Avodah Zarah, or giving his son over to Molech. The Pasuk says, you're Tameis Mikdash, Yolachal L'Shem Kachi. How you're Matame, my Mikdash? So Rashi says, you're Matame Knesset Yisrael. So the Ramban explains how this works. Ramban explains, he quotes a Gemara, Kol Anene Me'olam hazeh b'lo bracha ki l'gozol HaKadosh Baruch Hu k'nes Yisrael. I'm sorry, it's a medrash. If you get benefit from this world without a bracha, it's like you're stealing from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, we get that. U'k'nes Yisrael, how are you stealing from k'nes Yisrael? So he goes on to explain that from a person bringing bracha, that brings kedusha into the world. And if not, the opposite happens. Tistalik HaShechina Yisrael. It causes a sort of a removal of the Shechina. So if I have an opportunity to make a bracha and I don't make a bracha, so okay, I could have my own personal decision of what that means to me. But I have to realize that by not making the bracha, I stole from Klal Yisrael, because by not doing that, I caused a lowering of Kedusha in the world. I think some of the Farshim explained it causes the Tzvua to not grow as well, and therefore everyone's going to lose out. Whatever the practical ramifications of it are, but I hurt everyone else. When I didn't make, no one else knew about it. It was just between me and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I didn't make my bracha. But when I didn't make that bracha, I pulled the world down and I hurt everyone else around me. So I'd love to end on the positive note more. Lift ourselves up. So we started talking about the decisions we have in yeshiva on a daily basis. The decisions, what seder I'm going to go to, how much I'm going to learn, which vadim, programming, whatever it is, my level of involvement in shiur while I'm there, etc., etc. And for the most part, we deal with it on a sort of myopic view of, okay, so how's it worth for me? How am I feeling today? Do I got it? Am I motivated enough by the schar? Can I get myself to go? I'm tired. Those types of cheshbonos. But if you look at the bigger, broader picture, perhaps that could motivate us more, or at least in a different way, that the first level of motivation doesn't always work. Number one, for ourselves, that kesher with yeshiva, every single time I connect, every single time I involve myself more with what's going on in yeshiva, that affects me, that makes me a part of yeshiva, that helps me view myself differently and helps me become someone different. And that connection could carry me a tremendous amount. We spoke about the value of yeshiva, the importance of it, and the limud Torah that goes on, and to be a part of it, to feel a real part of it. And we're not talking about just schmoozing with my friends and connecting them, although that is a part of it. But at the right time, then that could really pull me up. And then on the other side, from the, not necessarily for myself, but for my chaver, every time I participate, every time I'm involved, even when it wasn't so simple, and even when I was fighting whatever else inside of me, but every time I'm involved, that gives a chizik to everyone else around me, both in an actual sense, they'll see me here, they might not have known the battles I had to get to this point, to be here and to be involved, but it definitely goes and gives them a chizik. But even if they don't realize that, they don't know it, every extra person makes it merubim osim es mitzvah. It makes it that when I make that bracha, that pulls the kedusha up. It's a different yeshiva around me. It's a different world around me. So we should be zocha to be inspired by this intangible piece of being part of a yeshiva. And I think Be'ez Hashem, think about it a little more, and think about the times, different decisions we made in life. And many of us could probably pull back times of, yeah, I felt like as someone in yeshiva, I couldn't do that. And as much as it's not something we could put our fingers on, but we could probably see the impact of it. And Be'ez Hashem, we focus on it a little more, it could impact us even more. Shabbat.